time is now 3:07. Time for hour number two of the Dr. Future Show.
Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. Ladies and gentlemen, KSCO presents the Dr. Future Show. If you would like to join in our show today, you can call us at 831-479-1080. That's 831-479-1080. And now, your host, Dr. Future.
Why do we never get an
answer? Greetings and welcome back to the show. Last hour, we spoke a lot about what I consider humans 2.0 and our convergence with robots and that sort of thing. This hour, we're going to look at something much more Santa Cruz rather than Silicon Valley, even though Laura here lives in Silicon Valley.
That's right.
Yeah, welcome, Laura. Laura Thanks. Bishop, who has organized What is Erotic, the 10th annual performance fundraiser for the 418 Project here in Santa Cruz. And, you know, in the past, Laura has been bringing together people in the community to define eroticism from the point of view of the community, from many different points of view, people who had different ideas of what eroticism was for them. Now, this year's a little different, Laura, and I'm looking forward to you telling us about it. And you brought a special guest in for us, your music choreographer, John.
Yeah, John Regal is with me. He's our composer and our DJ, and he'll be spinning the show live from on stage. So we're very, very happy
awesome.
And excited to have him with us this year. Yeah.
Wow. Well, welcome, John.
A lot of new things
Thank you,
happening.
Thank you, son.
Yeah. So tell us, how is this different from the past?
Well, this is our 10th season, and we have been way out on the forefront for many years, and we just thought that for our 10th anniversary, we would take a risk and take the show to a different level. So we're always committed to taking people's authentic content and material, stuff that's vulnerable for them and edgy. And so we did that, but what we did was we have written an entire show based on performers' content. So what you're going to be seeing for the first time instead of a variety show is one full-length evening performance. So it's a lot different than we have done in the previous 9 years.
So, yeah, in the past, it's been people expressing their interpretation of what's erotic for them.
Yeah, it's sort of been like an erotic variety show.
It's been a variety show, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
With very original conceptions, but, you know, it has always been just conceived of and executed through the process from the auditions till the show. It kind of comes together, people's entire erotic opening.
So do you have a bigger...
How's it different now?
Yeah, you have 10 years of experience of all this eroticism from all these people in our community, and now you've taken that and done a professional, in a sense, interpretation of eroticism. Now, do you have a different story arc? Do you have a large story arc for where does this take us?
Yeah. So first of all, what I think is exciting is that if you've seen the show before, and thousands of people have seen the show before, you have not seen this show. So what I think has always been fun is that this is juicy, fun, hot stuff. We're talking about one of my favorite questions, the question that can't be answered, what is erotic? But last year, the previous years, if you've seen the show, you've been able to enjoy a hot piece and then another hot piece, a spoken word piece, a dance piece, a song, that kind of thing. But this year, imagine that your experience of the erotic will build and build and build and build and build. So instead of having sort of little erotic moments, you'll have one after the other, after the other, after the other, that all build in a solid evening.
And it builds towards...
It's a little more like falling in love.
Yeah,
well, I want to invite John to talk about it because he's very familiar with the story arc since he's the only performer on stage the entire show.
You're the only person who's seen the show from beginning to end who's in the show.
Yeah, are you going to be on the stage, John? Are you back in the booth, or where are you going to be physically?
We start off in a nightclub, and there's a DJ.
For the scene, on the stage.
This is the whole production starts off in a nightclub, which ties in a longstanding tradition at 418, which is the dance party before and after productions. And I love that about Santa Cruz, that people here really like to participate. They like to get out and dance. So
You mean kind of like dance church on Sunday?
Kind of like that. There's a like dance
Another
church,
418 Laura? Specialty.
Yeah, we know where 418, as you know, the 418 Project is a nonprofit movement arts center that serves 1,000 people a week. And about 100 a week come and dance, take their shoes off and dance barefoot every Sunday morning for dance church.
It's nice.
So what we're inviting for What Is Erotic is audience does a dance party.
So the show itself
is set at Club Magic Box, which the evening will be ending as the show starts, but there'll be a Club Magic Box dance party for the first bit of the evening's
pay. What time does the dance party start?
7:30 on Fridays and Saturdays and 6:30 for the Sunday show.
Is the audience involved with this, or are they watching, or what? What's the...
Well, something else that's different this year is we have historically had our performers come out and interact with the audience, but this year, the audience interacts with the performers. So if it makes sense, you're on stage. Like, you're literally, if you come to the show, you enter Club Magic Box. The minute you walk into the performance space, you are in the show.
I see. So you are on the stage, so to speak.
Yeah. So the
fourth wall has been dissolved.
There's no fourth wall. You enter the fourth wall. You break the fourth wall by entering the performance space. You're in the performance space. You're in the club. You can interact with the bouncer, with the cocktail waitress, with the MC, with the DJ, with the hostess.
But as the audience, you leave your clothes on, though, right?
You could leave your clothes on.
Yeah. Is it clothing optional event?
You can.
Well, it's 18 and over, so we have no objection if you want to shed a couple of items.
Get warm, huh?
That's great news for the audience.
Because I remember in the past,
chairs
yeah, you did have chairs. You did have there mattresses where people could hang out with their friends in a little circle, and that sort of thing.
Well, this year, something else. There's so much that's new about the show this year. This year, we have all reserve seating. So this year, we also tend to sell out. So we have a big stampede at the door. So this year, we thought we'd make it a little easier and less stressful. People can buy their tickets in advance and actually have a seat assigned to them. And they can come and take their seats. And then they can go and prowl around the space as they see fit.
That's great. All right. Well, listen, folks, we're speaking with our guest, Laura Bishop and John Ragel, and we'll be back with more about this year's What is Erotic. Stay tuned on the Dr. Future Show.
Welcome back to, I was going to say, What is Erotic? But no, this is the Dr. Future Show talking about What is Erotic. And to focus for a moment on John Ragel, you have a vision of the music for What is Erotic that sounds a little different from what we've seen before. Could you tell us how this is unfolding for you? What's your game plan?
The score is half originals and half mashups. Uh-huh. And a mashup is when you take separate compositions, separate tracks, and then you deconstruct them and put them back together so that it's one whole work. And those are mostly in our choreographed dance pieces that Mitch has been directing. Hmm. And in fact, I interacted with Mitch a lot because he had some songs in mind.
Now, who's Mitch in the mix here? Is he?
Mitch is our choreographer.
The dance choreographer? So he'll be working with the performers on stage?
Dance, and also he's had an editorial eye for the entire show too, along with all five directors. But he's been really fun to work with. As an example, we have a cha-cha scene. It's a really fun piece. And he said, there's this Ricky Martin song I love, and I've never worked with Ricky Martin song. I never dreamed that I would mash up a Ricky Martin tune, but ended up deconstructing this Ricky Martin tune and adding other elements, and I think it works well in the piece as an example of one thing. So this has been a very collaborative experience for me. And on Laura's piece, it's an original piece that I did all the music for, but she provided the lyrics. And so we worked together on just what she was going for. Her vocabulary is really rich. It was fun to just sit down with her and work on the lyrics. And what we were going for is an old, hot, torchy jazz type of atmospheric. I think we're creating that. I think hopefully our audience.
In the club, the dad jazz atmosphere.
Yes. Actually, not to give too much about the show away, but what happens is that when the club closes, the DJ is left by himself, and all of a sudden, the people who were staff and singers and that kind of thing in the club become the fantasy versions of themselves.
Kind of like a Christmas story I've heard about.
I don't think this is like any Christmas story you've seen, Al.
maybe you're right. But you say 2:00, usually the club closes, but this is when it begins in the case of your
club. The show opens as last call is shouted, the show opens, and then as the club itself closes, the reality totally shift. So we become part of a fantasy. And in that fantasy, a regular torch song can become something quite fantastic. Although it's true to its, of course, it's true to its elements. So.
And Laura sings that piece. It's nice.
Yeah? Is that how it begins then?
It's an early piece in the show. And I think John talked about Mitch Lang, who is one of our secret weapons. And if you saw the show last year, you might remember a fantastic duet with Mitch and Michelle Robbins. And we met Mitch and we were quite impressed by his dance piece. And we said, Mitch, will you come on and be part of the directors? And then we found out that Mitch has been dancing internationally for 28 years.
Oh, man.
including,
yeah, I remember that piece.
Remember that piece?
Oh, spectacular dancing. Oh, my goodness. Really, just very memorable, very erotic.
Little did we know, like Siegfried and Roy in Las Vegas, and Mitch has chops. So little did we know that he'd become our directing choreographer. So we have such hot choreography this year. It's so we have an ensemble. There are pieces with up to 12 dancers. And they're people that you know. It's pretty cool. Pretty cool.
Oh, boy.
Do you have any aerials?
We do have aerial. It's funny. So if you've seen the show poster, there's a beautiful image of a woman, and she's suspended in the clouds, and she's reaching down to a man who's reaching out for her.
Yes.
And that's Kylie Webb, and she's an aerialist with Aerial Arts Santa Cruz, and she is playing the moon. She starts as a cocktail waitress named Luna, but in her fantasy world, she actually becomes the moon.
So. Wow. Hmm. I love the poster this year. It looks like the moon is actually a goddess, and she's, you know, really reaching down to the human below and beckoning.
She's a goddess, all right. Yeah, Kylie is.
Looks incredible. In that realm, maybe just a little bit of real-time networking here. Do you know Jeanette Bent?
Not only do we know Jeanette Bent, but Jeanette Bent is in the show.
Oh, she is? Okay.
Oh, and you know Jeanette Bent has a show on KSEO.
Yeah, she's one of our KSEO people.
She's one of our talk show hosts.
Well, that's so fantastic. What a small town it is.
I know, right?
Santa Cruz that way.
Yeah, Jeanette is Santa Cruz, Aerial Arts Santa Cruz. Of course, have you guys seen much pole dancing?
Well,
from time to time, I've had the pleasure. Yes.
I like to watch.
Can you imagine a pole dance duet?
Wow.
On two poles or one?
On one pole.
Well, one upside down or
Well, you'll just have to come to the show and see.
Very provocative.
Jeanette is going to be part of, so she's an aerial and pole dance choreographer, so she and another performer will be doing a pole dance duet.
Oh, interesting.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's gorgeous.
That makes for good radio.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. We were like, how are you girls going to pull that off? And we're like, oh, you're going to pull it off like that. Whoa. Ooh, wow. Look at that.
I talked to her about aerial photography with her performances and various ways of doing aerial, including drones.
Yeah, this is a fantasy Dr. Future has had since we saw a beautiful piece. A friend of ours sent us a link to a pre-show that was being developed for Cirque du Soleil, which I don't know if you've seen that, but it's absolutely inspiring. These drones are little lampshade chandeliers, and they become part of the fantasy of this kind of machine builder dancer.
So. Next year, we'll do that next year. That'd be so fun.
Great. Okay. Yeah. We'll be on.
And they come out to play. They're like the elves and the magic people that come out to play when everyone else is away, you know, and only the magical beings are allowed to see it.
We could have a drone playing one of your saxes, John. That would be so cool.
Well, we'll have to figure out how to make the drones musical because they're so loud.
Yeah.
The thing you have to take into consideration with drones.
They don't quite have the intelligence to play music really well, but they can copy. They can listen.
Well, maybe we could find a way of turning them into a percussive accompaniment.
It could be like a drone drum machine hybrid. Yeah,
that's right.
The whole realm of artificial intelligence and performance art is quite interesting. It's really mostly been in the labs, and only now are we beginning to see AIs getting out into the commercial sector. Bina is probably the most. This is a black woman in Vermont. Is probably the most advanced AI right now.
And
she has a transgender partner who made a fortune bringing SiriusXM radio into existence. And transgender in that arena, you're particularly interested in bodies and form and not feeling attached to one or the other. It's like it should be more of a malleable, fluid thing. And that's what we're starting to see with this type of art.
So I had the good fortune to be involved in writing the show, and I had the good fortune to be involved in being in the show. And it wasn't until recently that I actually got to watch John spinning the show on stage.
Wow.
And as a performer, I enter the stage, and John is in the booth, and he's spinning. And so I'm really interested. So John, like, if you could update, so what I see is, like, you're spinning vinyl, and you also have recorded tracks. I think you're looping, and
some phrase looping, and then some preset samples, if you will. It's just raw audio.
Mm-hmm. So you have a whole different performance piece for each act, I guess. So
definitely. Although I just try to keep it simple, though. I try to keep my setup simple. I don't really love laptops, but I like vinyl a lot still. So whenever I can use a piece of real vinyl, I'll definitely have it.
Yeah, tell us a little about yourself as a DJ, John. I mean, obviously you come into this show with a history where you've pulled your art ticket. Where have you been performing? What kinds of shows do you really like to do?
I'm a solo artist called Boy Eats Drum Machine. Oh. And I've toured the U.S. a few times, and I've opened for Devo, and which is, wow, we could talk about them for a few hours.
Yeah, they had a major influence on you, did you?
It seems like they would be right up your alley, Al.
Yeah, you think? They're crazy enough.
Your alley, too, I guess, politically and, well, musically. Who doesn't like Devo?
Yeah.
Anyways,
Devo.
I do, too. I love them. I grew up on Devo and hip-hop, or, you know, the early hip-hop. When I saw people using the turntable as a musical instrument, it's really a folk instrument in that capacity. It's been repurposed to be used as an instrument. I just got attached to the idea of using sounds similar to how a collage artist uses different shapes, different forms, and they put it in their art or create art with other raw materials. It's really similar to that on a sound level.
And so do you collect vinyl? I mean, do you have all eras?
I do. I have quite a bit of vinyl. I have one record I'm using, for instance, is this. It's an old Oregon field recording. It has several native tribes. It has what's called a zither. You know what a zither is? It's like a beat up. It's like a little piano.
All right. Well, listen, folks. This is Dr. Future's show, and What is Erotic? We're going to go to a break. Be right back.
Welcome back to the Dr. Future show, which is becoming more of a party here in the studio. You know, we have Mrs. Future behind the controls.
Woo-hoo!
We have John Monahan drawing over here. Who knows
That's
what?
That's right. He is always making our show a little more psychedelic behind the microphones here.
And we have Laura Bishop, who's put together an incredible What is Erotic show this year. She's telling us about that. And
you
were going to mention that you thought of us when you were watching John Riegel is also here in the show, in the studio here. And you thought of the future in the context of watching him work with vinyl. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, tell us about your inspiration.
Yeah.
What did you see? What did you feel?
How is vinyl the future?
How is vinyl the future? So I was aware of John as our composer, and I was aware of John as a songwriter, and aware of John as a musician. But it wasn't until he set the DJ booth up live and we began to run full rehearsals that I was fascinated by watching his hands on the turntable and watching the interaction with the entire audio of the show. And I was like, whoa, there's something really old here happening. There's something really new here happening. And I thought about you guys. I didn't have the answer, so I was like, let's talk about this, because I know that you guys have a different perspective and that we would stumble onto what was it that so caught me about this and what was so intriguing.
Okay, well, our involvement with live performance has largely been doing visuals for the bands. Typically, the light musicians, I like to think of it as, has usually been separate from the audio musicians. Usually, the audio musicians are on a stage and the light show is happening behind them on the big screens. They don't even hardly notice sometimes. But we've been working on trying to change that by giving the musicians a screen that they can see what's going on behind them, so, and making it so that their performances, they can see how they're affecting the visuals. Because I like to look at it, the feedback loop on that. So that's my experience, is creating this bio-cybernetic feedback loop between the audio and the visual musicians to create some kind of new level of connectedness.
Yeah, synesthesia has always been the art form that is most fascinating, because when you remap your sensual experiences into a new combination, you can get that fresh feeling that you're seeing something that you haven't had access to before.
For example, a common thing that is that the visuals can pulse with the beat of the music, and then you can see a connection there.
Are you using software for that, or
both software and motion? Are using your hands to manipulate the mixers so that you can see beat effects that are actually done by hand?
Yeah, we consider the visualizer to be an instrument, and so there's a human musician who is creating the music with light.
You know why I feel excited about what you're saying, son, is it brings to mind, so if you think about old theater and now theater and the theater of the future, the old way was, oh, we're not going to have a split focus. There'll be a performer on stage, one person will talk at a time, and then the action will shift and shift and shift. Mm. And what I hear you talking about is this what we're doing this year in the show, where there's instead of having a focus and then a focus and then a focus, there's a shimmering effect where there may be a solo happening or there may be four dancers or several people. John is spinning simultaneously. You're also watching the projection of you, John,
of your hands. You have a camera on your hands.
And there's this kind of like delight that kind of bubbles up as you're seeing all the parts moving where you could not see that before.
Yeah.
And it's amazing.
Sure. Yeah. Well, I can just maybe create a little metaphor. As a kid, I was a huge fan of Walt Disney, and especially the types of shows where you would see the artist animating the fantasy and as it came in. So you just felt like you had this pre-show of the imagination, and you saw the actual connection of the artist and their imagination to this story that was unfolding in front of you. For me, the most compelling kind of art form.
There's this moment in the show where John is looking through his records. He's just looking through his records, looking through his records, looking through his records. And then one of the characters comes out of nowhere and just hands him a record out of nowhere. And he's like, disco. Disco. All right. And then the next thing happens and it totally reminds me of that.
Live jam there.
The disco piece is really fun.
Yeah. Oh, cool.
It reminds me, you said you were influenced by Devo. How
I grew
so?
Up on Devo and such great music in the 80s.
And you said you opened for them even?
I did. That was a thrill. I didn't get to hang out and meet them though, so I didn't get to get any autographs or anything.
Well,
definitely an amazing show. They're so incredible even right now.
Yeah.
Well, anyways, I could go on and on about Devo. So.
But your own art form involves actually working with vinyl, using a camera to get your motions of what you're mixing up on a screen so that people can see that, your hand motions as part of your performance piece as well. And you're also responding in real time to the performers. So you're working with dance choreography for music, which makes sense. What about some of the poetic arts? Are you mixing live music with poetry in the show too?
I think Laura and I's piece is probably our most...
Conversational.
With music. Definitely. Yeah.
But there also are a multitude of vocalists this year. So one of the things that'll happen is you'll be watching an aerial performance. John will be spinning the soundtrack for it. And then vocalists will appear. So there is a conversation happening or multiple things happening with voice on stage in that way this year.
What I'm imagining as you describe the show is some kind of a really multi-sensual ecosystem where there's just lots of life happening in surprising ways in different combinations, but everything kind of coming together from different centers.
Ooh, that was lovely.
I know, multi-sensual. Like that's I'm going to call the show multi-sensual from now on. This is so good.
That was beautiful, son.
No, really, like there's vocal. There's roller skating.
Roller skating.
What a surprise. Pole dance. I recognize but a little influence from Dave there.
There's, you know, like the whole like Vegas sparkly, big, sexy, hot dance number thing. There's like live music happening on stage. There's one moment where John is actually lying on his back on the stage playing the saxophone. It's awesome.
Wow.
We have a female MC.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah, there's rap.
And she does some nice work. I'm very proud of that piece, working with her. That was another collaboration lyrically.
Wow.
And she just brought poetry. She said, this is important to me. This is what's on my mind. This is a matter of creating the lyrics. just taking that vocabulary, those phrases, and putting them in a, you know, you needs to rhyme and be in the cadence that'll really be catchy and stick in your head a little bit. So I think that piece is pretty fun.
Wow.
Definitely looking forward to these shows.
Only a very small number, like two human beings, have actually seen the entire show. One of them is Ken Edelman, who I think you know.
Huh. Yeah,
and,
sure.
And Ken has been a big fan of the show for a couple of years. And his words after our second show run, he said, "I just have one bit of feedback for you." Wow.
Oh, boy, coming from Ken, he's got pretty high standards.
I know.
That's amazing.
Those who don't know about it, can you tell the audience what the 418 Project is and how this is helping them?
Of course, who in Santa Cruz doesn't know the 418 Project is?
Oh, well, just in case.
Just in case.
So in 1993, the 418 Project was formed as a nonprofit. What we do, our mission statement, is to build community through creating safety for expression, for artistic expression. What we feel is that the really, really juicy movement art comes from inside. So we think that if you don't feel safe, you can't really feel safe expressing yourself. A lot of us sit in front of computers or drive our cars or trucks a lot during the day, and we just believe that it's really important to create affordable space and safe space and to create programming that makes people feel inspired and present. So we provide a combination of classes and performances and jams where you don't have to have a degree in theater or dance to feel like you can come and really kind of move and be moved. So we have kids programming, we have teens programming, we have flow arts like hoop and aerial, and we also have barefoot ecstatic dance and dance church and contact improv. And so we have ways to kind of get out of your head, get into your heart, get into your body, and feel yourself more. And when we do our mentorship programs, because What Is Erotic is a mentorship program, we really do support people for the 5 to 6 months of developing the show. We take people, some who are experienced performers like Jeanette, and some who have never been on stage, and we give them a safe place to really move what's real for them. And I think that makes what we do important, valuable, meaningful. We've been around for 22 years.
Yeah.
Has it ever been controversial for you to deal with the theme of erotic in Santa Cruz?
Such a great question. Yeah. So, you know, for me, you know, 10 years ago, I could not even utter the phrase, "What is erotic?" Somebody would say, yeah, I'm in this show. It's called What Is Erotic Now. I couldn't get it out there. And we were like, how do we, because I had never, I mean, the phrase sex positive wasn't exactly mainstream 10 years ago. Things have really changed a lot. We finally got it. Like, people kept coming up to me year after year, performers and audience, and they kept saying, "This show has changed my life. Just watching the show, I feel safer. I feel more alive." People would watch the show for 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, and then they would come out to be volunteers or to try their hand at technicians or to perform. Wow.
Interesting. Well, it's such a charged topic in so many levels. But yeah, we'll be right back. You're listening to the Dr. Future Show. We're talking with Laura Bishop and John Regal on the What Is Erotic coming up this weekend, the 10th annual performance fundraiser. Okay, welcome back to the Dr. Future Show. We are talking with Laura Bishop and John Regal on the What Is Erotic 10th annual performance fundraiser coming up this week. And in, you know, 10 years of eroticism surrendering to fantasy, Laura, that's amazing. Now, on talk radio, as I was mentioning you in the break, we talk quite often about sex, politics, and religion, and arts and science. And is there a way in which eroticism can really evolve our society, or evolve who we are as human beings, kind of moving towards what we consider to be the human 2.0? Do you ever think of your art in that context?
Well, speaking from someone who's new to the What Is Erotic experience, I didn't know what to expect coming in, but I think I've been personally enriched by this show, this community, just having a safe place for people, just for myself and for everyone that I've worked with, having a safe place to explore ideas. Laura, of course, always empowering us, always saying, You can push your edge. We'll never force you, though, over the edge.
No, when you say safe place, what do you mean by that?
Professional, trust. Probably the most important part of safe is to have a conversation. So with sex, usually we avoid the conversation. Whereas with what is erotic, that's the main conversation the first day, because we have to be in the right space to deal with each other respectfully. And so we've gone through ensemble exercises, what we'll talk about. What are some boundaries for you? What are you okay with? What are you not? Because we have some, for instance, we have some choreographed pieces where people are moving together very intimately. And so everyone needs to know up front, here's what everyone is safe with. And so it's your responsibility as a performer to know who you're working with, to know their boundaries.
Mm-hmm. Do you ever have emotional, because boundaries are a big thing. And
definitely.
And often, you know, the evolution of that, and at least in the Bay Area I've seen, is emotional literacy training, where if boundaries are crossed, people have ways to let each other know about that in a safe way. And I'm just wondering, do you ever have issues like that come up when you're dealing with so much intimacy in a show and boundaries are crossed? What do you do? Do you process them, or are you able to talk about it, or bring it up to Laura and Laura resolves it, or what?
So I think that this question has been an unexpectedly, the question, what is erotic, has been a really unexpectedly powerful question for me. And just if, and it's such a personal question. So if you ask yourself, what is erotic to me? Mm-hmm. And then you ask yourself, what is not erotic to me? And it's really clear, like, if it's erotic, I'm breathing. I'm able to feel myself. I'm able to enjoy myself. I'm able to feel pleasure. Maybe I notice, like, if this is not erotic, I can't enjoy myself. I can't feel pleasure. I can't be present. So in a way, actually, I think that that question's become a guideline for performers and safety. So we do have the conversations. Mm-hmm. I'm so excited about the show because it really challenges the belief that sex has to be shallow. And I think that by being aware of erotic and being aware of safety, we're inviting people right into where they personally feel juicy and they personally feel alive and they personally feel present. And present is... you say, present, you know, it's kind of a dry concept. Not in this show, it's not.
Tangible energy in the room.
Yeah, that's right. I think that I've seen enough media content or advertising content about sex that doesn't really hit me deeply. Mm. And I think that's because there's not a lot of safety. There's not a lot of presence. There's not a lot of dialogue. I think that John's talking about dialogue. Because we open this as a safe question, as a personal question, that people can express their gender preferences, their sexuality preferences. They can go fast, they can go slow, they can climb an aerial apparatus, they can play the saxophone lying on their back. You know, they can do whatever it is that really makes them feel amazing. And then you get to discover, like, I feel safe, and that feels amazing.
It's really empowering. Yeah, it's been an amazing experience for me. I didn't know what to expect. And
for me, as a longtime fan of the show, I've always been amazed at how you cross this terrain from fear to trust in the show, and that thrill is part of the magic of the show. And I'm wondering now, I see on the poster that you guys are expanding for the first time out of Santa Cruz. So this lovely little Santa Cruz experience that I always thought was so rooted here because of the specialness of the Santa Cruz community and the way people are so creative and so sensual and love going so deep. I'm curious, what are you expecting when you take it now to Portland, the second venue for this wonderful experience?
Yeah, we're thrilled that we're actually going to John's hometown of Portland, and we're going to be opening the very first What is Erotic on February 12th. So if you have friends in Portland, tell your friends. They can go to whatiserotic.com and learn about the Portland show.
That's a totally different group?
What's so fantastic is that Eleanor O'Brien, who does Dance Naked Productions, we met her when she did the very first Santa Cruz Fringe Festival, is an experienced producer of theater and conscious sexuality, and she creates safety. And so when she came to us and said that she wanted to do a What is Erotic, it felt like a really good fit for us. So yeah, we're expanding.
And you're taking the same show. Do you have, is the whole cast going? Is it a different cast? How are you bringing the same show to two venues like that?
So what's so sweet, and I'm going to go up to Portland and see the show on the 12th. It's so fun because they're doing year one. Right? So just like us 10 years ago, they're very raw.
The very beginning.
They're very beginning. I know. And Eleanor says, it's raw, but it's just so Beautiful. So they're just getting started.
So it's a whole new community forming around this idea.
Yep. And sourcing people's, the stuff that's really alive and edgy for people, and people are going to be performing and talking about what's erotic for them, just like we did 10 years ago. So cool.
And so how did you participate with Portland? I mean, you know, this is your baby. What did you do to bring it to a new place?
Well, Misha Bonaventura, who was my partner in crime with the What Is Erotic in Santa Cruz for many years, was just up with Eleanor in Portland this past weekend, and they were workshopping the material. So Eleanor has a creative license, and actually she's going to be giving a little gift back to the 418, so she's going to be supporting the 418, and thanks for using our brand. This is a movement. It's a personal question, and how could you possibly clone this show and have it be true in a different community? So the Portland community is going to tell us their answer to that question
doing more of the variety show. In Portland. So it really is a reflection of Portland.
Yeah, and they'll be running
on eroticism.
Yeah, we're going to run, so Santa Cruz is going to open this Friday and we'll run 2 weekends. So they'll be actually having shows the same nights over Valentine's Day weekend. We're going to have shows, of course, over Valentine's weekend as well.
And are they just going to do the 3 shows over that weekend? Do they have more than 3 shows?
The 12th, 13th, and 14th in Portland.
And coincidentally, this is your hometown, John?
That's it. I can't wait to hear about it.
Yeah. But you'll be here.
I'll be here. Oh, yeah, I've got work to do.
I'm sneaking out for one night.
I see, just up there. Nice.
I'm a little jealous. Portland's a good place. That'll be fun.
Fascinating.
Yeah, Portland is erotic.
Yeah.
Just a little.
Are you dealing with any new issues of eroticism? Or?
Oh, I love that question. Mm-hmm. So we had the directors had the luxury this year of waiting for the performers at the call to artists to bring in what was alive for them. And then we took everyone's fantasies and dreams and desires for performance and we built this big, gorgeous show. And then we said, well, what are our fantasies? And a couple of surprise scenes have developed. So
yeah.
Oh, I really don't want to spoil the show, but I won't, but I will tell you some of my favorite scenes and some of the hottest scenes are actually director fantasies.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we do know you're getting married this year.
That's right. I am. That's a fantasy, boy.
Yeah.
It's been a long held
fantasy.
Yeah,
we were there when it happened, I think.
Yes, you were.
Yeah. Okay. Well, not. Yeah. Moment of the question.
The answering
question. That's right. Yeah, yeah. And my fiance is going to be in the show.
Uh-huh. So on roller skates, I bet.
No, I don't know why you'd say that.
Really? Yeah.
Well, I'll just say I'm not expecting Derby Girls at the What Is Erotic show.
Oh, but there are roller girls.
There are.
Actually, yeah. in this, these are the roller disco girls.
Oh. Okay.
And there may be a disco ball.
Fascinating. All right.
Did you have people of all ages in this?
Our youngest performer is 21 and our oldest performer is 57.
Wow.
Yeah. So I doubt that we'll answer the question completely, but we really, really hope that there is so much and the show unfolds. It just unfolds and unfolds and unfolds and unfolds and scene after scene of gorgeous, crazy, amazing stuff happens that we really hope that people will leave just buzzing. And we'd love to create the conversation like, did you ever fantasize about that? Was that your fantasy? Would you ever want to do that? Was that hot? Did you find that? I wrote like, well, that's our fantasy is to create that.
Oh. Yeah. Hey, what do you ask the audience to bring to the show? What instructions do you have for them?
I would ask that, again, if you've ever seen the show, to set aside any idea that you know what the show is going to be like. And if you've never seen the show, I would ask you to open your mind and I would ask you, would you enjoy surrendering to your fantasy? Would you enjoy surrendering to some new ones?
Someone else's fantasy?
Yeah, maybe you get some new ideas, right, for your own fantasies.
Is 50 Shades of Grey coming out soon?
Yeah, 35 million copies or however many copies it sold. Yeah. I think it's a place for fantasy.
So the show is starting this Friday.
We open on Friday.
And are there any nights already sold out? Are there nights that we have to like move fast if we want our tickets?
If you want to get tickets, I recommend that you get tickets. As soon as possible, go to the 418project.com and there's a ticket link on there. But every single dollar of proceeds goes right to support the show. And you can also directly support an artist if you would like. There's an option to support an artist as a part of your ticket proceeds. So it's all a benefit for local folks.
Wow. Well, good. Well, check it out. We'll see what our fantasies are. But it's probably not this. This is a new poll. Thanks, Greg. That finds 1 in 10 Americans would sleep with robots. It's probably not in What Is Erotic Here.
That is some way distant future. Yes.
Next year with
what
the drones.
What is erotic? All right, folks. Okay. You have been listening with us to What Is Erotic on the Dr. Future
Thanks for coming,
show.
Guys.
Yeah.
Thanks, Sal.
Yeah, thanks, John. Thanks, Laura. It's been great. This is KSEO, Santa Cruz, San Jose, Salinas, Monterey. Thanks for joining us. See you next week. Future Tuesday.
Bye, bye, my darling.